Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. Got a big show coming up. We've got game tracker slash, what are we calling them, Don?
Game cams.
We're going to be talking with Chris Gilman about that, the latest technology, what to look for, pitfalls from the past, and I think they've overcome most of them, but that's going to be kind of cool. We're also going to be talking a little bit about something cool happening up in Duluth as far as stocking goes. So that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hello, Donald.
Hey.
Ava.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, me too.
Last weekend in September.
Sooner we can get this show done, the faster I can get out of here.
Where are you going?
Lake of the Woods.
Oh, man.
Lake of the Woods, and I am excited.
You know what we're going to hear about next week?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, we hear about all these fish I caught?
No, we won't.
Oh, yeah, you will.
No, we won't. Maybe the week after.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That could be.
You know, you got to stay with me.
I know. It's okay.
I could wait another week to hear about it, though.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, last time we went, we were in there July, I think, we went up the Flag. And we worked various sizes of spinners.
He's talking about Flag Island. It's about the top of the U.S.
Far up in the angles you can get.
It's the size you get in the continental United States.
Exactly right. And we're literally staring at like 20 feet from the border.
To Canada.
Yep. And I'm telling you, we used Mac blades, and it worked great. Went to bigger Mac blades, and off the charts. I couldn't believe it. So I think I'm going to play with a little bigger blades this time in fall, see if it can make any difference. And it's fun because we run a lot of slow death. But the one year that you and I were up at Cab with the trip, I ended up using harnesses with the spinner. And that worked quite well too, except then I had to go through a whole crawler. And I'm just more about the ease of just...
Artificial?
No, real crawlers.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to try the Berkeley... what do they call that? The slow death crawler, whatever it is. Available in red, green, and natural.
It's an artificial crawler.
Yeah.
But it's about a half a crawler.
It's designed for slow death. Yeah. And you can get quite a few fish on it. Not have to deal with the crawler side of it. So right.
No worm bedding.
Nope, no bedding. Actually, you know, the funny part was when we were up at, where were we? Lake Sharp. Up north. And no, we were up above. It was Oahe, but way up by Pollock.
You're on a lake someplace.
We're up in Pollock. Okay. And we go out in a day. In a day and a half, we burned through a flat of crawlers.
Yeah.
Just a guy, another buddy of mine and I in the boat, pre-fishing for a tournament. The fish just tore through it. So we had to find some alternative that we're still going to be able to catch fish. And so we went with those artificials. And those are the only crawlers I find that will work. You can't. They don't work on a like a spinner rig, a crawler rig that you would normally use. They just won't take it. I tried it on Erie side by side with crawlers. The fish just do not want it. Some lakes they may, but they just don't want it unless it's got an action, like a jig situation where they got to chase it. But pulling a standard rig that's going slow, they just don't seem to want to do that. So. Kind of weird deal, but nonetheless, it is what it is. But speaking of fall and transitions and fishing different places, you know, one of the rigs that because there's rivers all over our territory. I mean, we're talking Lake Michigan. You've got river there. You've got rivers in Minnesota. You've got rivers in North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, all over Wisconsin. And one of the things that I found has really been effective. A couple different rigs, but one is a Dubuque rig that works pretty darn well. You've got a jig in the bottom, and then you've got a heavier jig in the bottom, and then you've got a trailer off of a three-way. The nice part about it is, as long as you're allowed in your area to run two baits per line, it simplifies things instead of having two separate lines for two different rigs. And it works well because you may have a more of a finesse fish that's kind of on the neutral or negative. And that what I've done is I've actually put a twister tail or a ringworm. I like ringworms but for myself, but put it on a long, more of a long shank Aberdeen hook and put that as the trailer off of the three-way. And you'd be surprised. Those fish like to go for that. But you, then you find out there's other fish that want the jig. And we've had a couple doubles, which is always kind of fun when you definitely hit that pot of fish that it's right on the money. And you just move slowly up the current or stay in. Spot it, you know, spot locked in the edge of the current. Or you can work up inside and touch the current edge and come back in out of the current, come into it, because the fish will hang right on that line. And inside bends of the river, or I should say outside bends of the river, because you it'll form a back eddy on the downstream side of that corner, and those fish will hang right there and wait for food to come around the corner. So that's one rig. Another rig is, it's kind of jokingly called the Denver rig, but it's a crankbait on the bottom with a lighter jig up on off of that same three-way. But it's an actual lead-headed jig, and you do the same thing. But the nice part is you cast that out, and you can pull that pretty well through up to about 12 feet of water will work.
You can cast that?
You can't just cast it out behind the boat, and then you just pull it, and you'll feel it hitting the bottom, and then you reel it up to the point where you're
not hitting the bottom.
Yeah. And you can actually keep it just digging a little bit. Works great. And it's about as easy as it gets, but the nice part is you do get two different bites of fish that will come through. One is a crankbait bite. The other one you're going to find is a jig bite. And when you are able to combine those on one rod maybe be Dubuque on the inside, so it's out of the current. Maybe the other one using it on the outside, closer to that current edge, you can be pretty deadly. And once you really zoom in on the fish, you can just creep and move laterally in the current. And that moving laterally in the current is a big thing. It allows you to stay on a pot of fish, but still move that bait up and down a break. So if you're against a break or a think of it as an underwater shoreline that comes up as you're moving upstream to your right is the bank. You move up diagonally, nice and slow up that. You can feel your bait going up that break line, and then you can feel it and turn around and go the other way and work it back down. And if you ever fish with somebody that's going to do that, make sure you're on the inside towards the shore, and then make the bet who gets the first fish, because it's always the person closest to shore. Just a little tidbit for you.
Okay.
So, don't worry, Don. I'll take care of you when you go out.
I'm sure you will.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking with Chris Gilman here pretty quick, and trail cams. We're going to talk about all the cool stuff that goes on with trail cams as far as what they can do, what they haven't done in the past. And I think it's going to be interesting. So I think people should stick around for this. It's going to be good.
Yep.
So hang tight. Moore Valley Outdoors right after this. Welcome back to the Valley Outdoors, and we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook and where else, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Yeah, we'll have all of the key pieces and parts that you want to go find something to do, and DNR websites for what the seasons are. You'll find it right there for any state in these United States. So that'll be kind of cool. Speaking of these United States and traveling, I don't know how I came up with traveling, but good friend of the show. And good friend of mine as well, Chris Gilman. He's joining us. He's joined us many times before. And we're going to talk a little bit about game cams that I think the technology has advanced, Don, to the point where it's kind of hard to believe what is going on with the newest technology. And Chris is at the forefront of that. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me on again.
Not a problem.
Glad to be here. I can give you guys a little update on what's new in game cameras and cell cameras in particular, if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the technology that's gone from just having a card or something in there that you pull a picture off of, it's like, oh, there was a photo that it took, and there's a photo, and now it's turned into, I mean, literally video, and you get it on your cell phone, you get an alert. I mean, that's, the technology is crazy. So how far is this gone? What is really the next thing happening?
Yeah, it really is crazy. You know, I actually saw for, stealth cam, and I also saw muddy cams and Wild Game Innovation cameras. So, but it started out a long time ago with literally the camera would get triggered by the sensor, and it would take, photos onto, literally you'd have to go to Walgreens or Walmart and have them developed, And way back when we invented the first actually the digital cell cam that would take the photos to an SD card. And then from there it progressed to burst mode, instead of taking one photo, it'll take three. And then it was like video, and then video was sound. And then, the sensors got really good and low glow. So when it actually takes a picture, there'd be no, there'd be no flash, but yet you could get 100-foot range. And all of these advancements were crazy. And most recently, now we have actually cameras that'll get triggered, and it'll send those right to your email address and your cell phone. And those have advanced, and probably some of the newest stuff. And if I'm rambling, stop me. But some of the newest stuff.
You're doing great. I love this.
Yeah, okay. Let's keep rambling. So some of the newest stuff this year, which is really cool, it used to be where you could either buy like a Verizon camera or an AT&T camera, and it really doesn't matter what you personally use on your cellular phone, but you had to choose between the two. So you had to kind of guess at what would be better in your woods or in your area. Now they're actually like preloaded with two SIM cards, and when you turn the cell cam on, it'll decide what is the strongest signal, either Verizon or AT&T, so it'll save you some battery life right there, because it'll be easier to transmit those photos. So it's a lot simpler for the user. One camera does it all, and the price has really come down a ton. What the manufacturers hope is that you'll buy a cell cam and use it, because they know you'll buy a second and a third, and then you'll buy their plan. So typically, like with ours, there's plans as low as $5 a month per camera, depending on how many photos you think you'll use. And it goes all the way up to like $20 for unlimited photos and HD videos downloaded. And kind of one of the cooler things this year that we came out with was on-demand photo. So at any moment, I can go onto my camera list and take photos. And like tonight, towards dark, instead of having to have like a deer walk by my camera to trigger it, I can actually take a photo and it'll show every deer in the field. So even if that deer didn't come within 100 feet, which is about our sensor range, even if there's 30 deer out in that field, I'm going to see them and I'm going to know what field to hunt. So that's kind of neat. On-demand photo.
That's just awesome. So it's like having your own window.
It really is. It
even though you're not there.
Really addicting though. Yep. It gets really addicting.
Chris.
I can go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of the people too, they're not using them for game cams anymore either. They're putting them up and saying, okay, I want to protect my deer stand. If somebody comes up and decides, hey, I'm going to take your deer stand or maybe put a, protect maybe their property or something like that. They're using that for that as well.
Yeah, for sure. We've got tons of customers that have them on their road going in their cabins. Of course, I've got a project going on right now. I've got a little building deal, so I have a camera that'll take three photos a day, so I can see the progress, and it'll be kind of like time lapse. When it's all done, I'll be able to see time lapse. Of this building being built, it's going to be pretty neat. Security is a big thing. You can buy different cameras. Some are flash. Some are low glow, which actually, when you walk by it, you'll see these red emitters, and it's actually fairly bright. And then there's actually no glow, and no glow, there's two different ways to do it, but there's actually like you put a low glow like shield in front of the emitters, which isn't the best because you don't have a very good range. You might only get 40, 50 feet. Where else there's truly no glow emitters, where you can get like 100-foot range as far as at night. It'll be better in the woods because there's a lot of light refraction. You'll get 120 on a field. You're probably more like 80, you know.
Right.
But yeah, you know, as far as security goes, if you walk by a no-glow camera, you'd never know it was there. You'll never know it took a picture. It could do HD video with sound. You certainly sell a lot of them to, you know, to people that have cabins. And
oh, yeah.
They want to know when people showed up there and if someone, you know, stop by. So yeah,
Chris, I have a question. Yep. Do your cameras have the ability to tell the difference between a wild turkey walking by and a deer?
They sure do. It's really weird. There's it'll tell the difference between a white-tailed doe and a buck, and you can actually filter it and say, you know, just send me buck pictures, because there's people that'll have they'll get you know, hundreds and hundreds of photos a day over feeders, like in, you know, Kansas and Texas. And they don't want to go through 1,000 photos a week, you know, so they just have the buck pictures sent to them.
I just experienced that last year. I got tired of them sending me pictures of a bunch of turkeys walking by.
Filter it out?
Well, yes. I mean, that's a capability. I wasn't aware of at the time.
Yeah, but it's pretty awesome.
You can burn up a couple hundred photos in a hurry with turkeys.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Chris, you know, one of the things that comes up too, and I know in the past when they first came out, there was some issues with the game cams, and some people got frustrated, and they said, you know what, forget it, I'm done. What are some of those stumbling blocks, and what's been done to overcome them?
Well, you know, it's a learning curve. That's a great question, by the way. You know, I think the biggest mistake a lot of people make is when you set up that game camera, you really have to act like you're taking a photo, and that the angle has to be about right. And if there's any brush or, you know, grass in front of there or, you know, branches with leaves in the wind, that could trigger your photo. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, 500 pictures and you're like, there was no deer there. This thing is not working, you know. And a lot of it is just learning to clear out, you know,
a shooting lane
in front of the camera. Angling them so, like, if you have a trail, instead of like totally sideways with a trail, it's better if you have it at an angle so you can see the deer coming. And I always put mine on burst mode. I usually like 1 to 3 photos if it's on a trail instead of like a, you know, mineral block or a water hole. And angling them parallel to the hole, you can kind of visualize where the trail are going to walk in on. You'll get much better photos. Where the sun rises and where it sets, you know, sometimes looking right at the sun, you'll get some sun glare. Batteries is kind of a big thing too. We're fortunate our cameras have actually you could actually put like your ice fishing battery on the ground and put a little adapter cable to them. So instead of just using AA's, you can have a power source that'll last for a long, long time. But over the course of years, they've gotten very, very, very good and very simple. A lot of things, you know, people are scared of. We have cameras that just have quick set mode. You put the batteries in, put quick set 1 and go, you know, and then you come back, grab your card, check out to see what you have. But, you know, you don't have to program it if you don't want. So you don't have to, you know, you can keep it as simple as you want or as basic as you want.
Anything in the solar side of it yet that'll...
Yeah, we have a very good question here. We've got plenty of, like, we've got solar packs that connect to the tree. So, you know, the solar will actually recharge a battery, and then that battery is actually plugged into the bottom of your camera. So, you know, cell cams, one thing about cell cams is they do use quite a bit of juice to transmit those photos. And you can have those photos transmitted multiple times a day instantaneously, or, you know, there's different settings that you can, you know, some people like it. I get too addicted, so I have them on instant this time of year during hunting season. But I, you know, man, when it is, and I have them sent once a day, so I'm not constantly looking at my phone to see what walked by my cameras, you know. But if it's on instant mode, you're using quite a bit of energy, you know, because every time it takes a photo, it's got to transmit those versus once or twice a day, where only twice a day it's going to transmit those photos. So in some cases, depending on your settings and how many pictures you're getting, it's great to have a solar pack, battery pack, along with your camera.
Yeah. So as far as the DPI, what kind of DPI, as far as the clarity, is it come out with?
Huh. Man, it's like like our, you know, you'd never need it, but I mean, like our Deceptor camera is 40 megapixel. We have cameras that pick HD video, you know, with an unbelievable clarity and sound. Some of the higher end cameras are using like Sony sensors. It's just incredible videos. You know, like I had an owl fly in the other day, and I got the first picture right by my camera, the second picture halfway across my food plot, and then a third picture, and the detail on the wings and stuff was amazing. You know, so
that's crazy. Things,
you really don't. You know, obviously, you know, back in the day it was like VGA quality, and if you zoomed in, you couldn't see hardly anything. You know, it'd all be pixelated. Now, you know, if you choose to put it on a higher setting, you know, it'll give you amazing quality, but it actually then fills up your SD cards quicker, you know, so there is a balance there depending on,
right,
you know, what setting you want to have it at, you know.
That's awesome, Chris. Well, we'll have information on the website, and those three companies are, what again are you working with on these?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the Stealth Cam, unbelievable company. They're like first in a lot of patents. They're great. They GSM Outdoors owns Stealth Cam, and now they acquired Muddy. So we sell all the Muddy blinds and pre-stands, and of course they have an unbelievable line of cameras. We got to use all their technology and combine them, and then we just actually bought Wild Game Innovations a year and a half ago, and so we have all of their ideas, you know.
Fantastic.
It's pretty neat. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I know on the fishing electronics side, things have taken a major league jump.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of in that same thing. It's all about imaging, what you're able to see, and helping you make that time you spend in the outdoors more effective. So, well, Chris, you get your butt up there to Reed's. I know you got a big promotion going up on Reed's, and we will be thinking about you. Thanks for the time, and thank your wife for parking on the side of the road for us.
Yeah, I appreciate your effort and all you do for us. So, hey, take care, you guys. Have a great day and a great weekend.
You as well. Talk to you. Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back. More Valley Outdoors.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Well, I learned something, Don.
Yeah, that was good visiting with Chris.
I think technology has gone off the rails. It's pretty cool.
Well, to be honest, it's really fun because I'm just thinking about this weekend getting mine out in the field, and it's really fun because you can have them sent to your phone. I do. And you can follow along with what's happening in whatever area you've got your cams. So I put out two of them in a couple different areas. Some guys put out like 12 or 14 of them. And they're watching all. I mean, these are the guys that live and die for it. But I wouldn't do it without having the ability to have it sent to either your home computer or or your phone.
Well, my big thing is that, you know, when you're talking a lot about boats and different things, you know, you look at Florida, and their big thing is right now there's a lot of thefts on outboard motors. They'll come up to your back of your boat, cut your wiring, unbolt the boat, have a cable wrapped around it, drop it in the water, and they've got a boat that they just reel the cable in and pull your motor up off your back bottom of the lake, 300 horsepower motors. And to have this kind of thing on there on your dock would be an awesome deterrent to
they're not that easy to see.
No.
You know.
No. So I mean, as far as cabins go, same thing. You want to know somebody's going down your road or hunting on your property, doesn't take much to get that nailed down.
Yeah, I just had a friend send me a video. He's got a cabin up in northern Wisconsin, and he's got the cam out off the deck. And his problem is bear.
Oh, yeah.
He's got bird feeders on a wire going across two trees. And
they bat
bear,
at him?
The bear goes up and gets on the wire and shakes him. bird feeder down. I said, well, you don't got to go far for getting bear yourself meat. A bear.
So, yeah, it's interesting. But let's wrap this up with one story that river that I love to fish, the St. Louis River up in just out of Duluth. Big story come out of there. They're going to be stocking sturgeon fry in efforts to boost the population. The DNR has completed the first stocking of St. Louis River since 2000, and the stocking came after seeing restored habitat and spawning in the river and a desire to increase that population. They stocked 375 six-inch tagged lake sturgeon fry into Chambers Grove Park on September 12th. And another 375, they're going to be sent to the Fond du Lac Band of Superior Chippewa with the goal of stocking the upper St. Louis River. The sturgeon stock took place originally from 83 to 2000 with 13 different year classes. So they said it's pretty exciting. They said the females reach sexual maturity at different ages. Males typically will be really ready around 10 to 20 years and really going to boost that population up there. I'm pretty excited about that because that's a great fishery down. I don't know if you ever fished that. But
I have. That's one I haven't.
So eventually they're hoping some of the lake sturgeon will make their way to Lake Superior and fill in all the year classes and start to take hold so they can have a tremendous fishery because the food source is there. Everything is there for these fish to really thrive. So it's going to be a pretty cool deal. I'm excited about it. So, well, what I'm not excited about is we're having to wrap up. It's another show. For Don, Ava, and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week.